All right, fighters, today I'm excited to hang with my buddy Mauricio Cotto. He is a kick-ass home improvement contractor out on the East Coast. And we're going to have a great conversation today about where he's come from, where he's going, some of the challenges that he's overcome, and all that good stuff. So without further ado, Mauricio, welcome to the fight, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Awesome. It's a privilege to be sitting right here on this end of the microphone. So thank you so much for having me here.
Well, I was looking forward to this, man, because I always like hearing people's stories and stuff like that. So you sound like you have an accent. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Costa Rica. I grew up
in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing here now, though.
It's a little colder there, isn't it? A little colder here than it is there.
Oh, my God. You said it. You said it. Yesterday, we got a huge storm hitting this way. And then this morning was ice everywhere. In the meantime, my brothers and sisters and sent me pictures of the beach and then how they live over there. So, oh my.
Were you born there?
I was born here. Yes. No, I was born on Costa Rica. I moved here when I was 18 years old.
Okay. So what was that like coming from there to here?
It was a big, huge change on my life. When I grew up, man, in a neighborhood where soccer is the main thing. Soccer is all you breathe and live. And then other than that was like surfing, going to the beach, hiking on the jungle with a machete behind you at all times. It was quite a life there. When I moved here, I moved in the middle of the winter time. So,
oh no!
I think I arrived. I flew to Florida, and I took a bus to Washington D.C., where I met up with my uncle. I got off the bus with shorts and sandals, not like 18 years old, not thinking. I didn't even know what cold feels like.
Yeah.
So that was a transition. Yes, Costa Rica, D.C. is a transition.
Oh, man. All right. So you came here at 18. And what are you now? 40-something?
I'm 45 now.
45. All right.
Yes.
So what's that, 27 years, if my math is right? Something like that?
Something. Yes, yes. I took a break on 2008 when the economy crashed. And I went back to spend time with my family again.
Okay.
My parents are getting older and my brothers have sons. So I got nephews and nieces that I didn't know. And the economy was so terrible. I ended up losing my ass. And, so I just took off and went back, spent 4 years surfing again and hanging out with my dad. I told my dad that we both retired at the same time. So I was living with my dad on his house, in his farm for a while, spending all my savings. And then I ended up meeting my wife and then we got married there. We spent another year in Costa Rica and then she got this crazy idea of coming back and I agreed to it.
It's all her fault, man. You know, she forced you to do it, didn't she?
She did. She handcuffed me and took me here.
So tell us about your business, man. What do you do?
I spent my whole life on residential new homes industry. I worked for many, many different builders and settled thousands of houses in my entire career. And then somehow the market or the business, it was not what I thought it was going to be. I was just one more number on the millions of houses that I think they sell. And then it was no appreciation, no. You're just a guy working out there. And I got fed up to it. I always admire people and how they work, especially like on the trades. If you actually physically get the opportunity to see a roofer shooting nails in those shingles, is like, oh my God, how can you do it so precisely and so fast? So I develop a huge admiration for all of those guys that work out there. And then I quit. Somehow I just click. You know what? I'm going to stop and I'm going to start my own thing. I'll figure it out. And thanks God that I find you on the way.
So when did you start your own?
2018.
2018, and you do predominantly remodeling, design, build stuff? Is that your thing? That's your thing, right?
It's little by little. In the beginning, was like replacing this hardwood floor and then fixing the drywall and then doing this bathroom. And then just, you know, I'm renovating an apartment. I'm renovating a full house. And then one thing got me to another one, and that's what we do now.
That's cool, man. So you went from just chipping away like most of us do to building a pretty sweet business for yourself. And you said, so when did you find the fight?
I think it was in the beginning of 2020, maybe. So it's been like 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pulling up one of the things you said in your form that you filled out when we were setting this all up was one of the things that you wanted to talk about a little bit was growing your business after a couple of years of listening to the fight. So what was your business like pre-fight? And then what are some of the things that you implemented and changed to help you scale and all that? What did that look like?
I think everything changed from the way that I see my community, myself, my work, the people that work with us. The whole thing changed. It's like the way I think completely changed. I'm more secure about myself. I barely have any head trash anymore. I'm very positive and passionate about what I do. And I share that with everybody. I think I'm more honest with my clients and my people, my family, and more open about things, more open about being able to free up my mind to speak out.
So talk to us about that head trash thing, because a lot of people come in and they really struggle with it for a long time. And it sounds like you just kind of dealt with it and moved on. That's the idea I got when you were talking. So I'm just kind of curious what maybe give an example, what some of your head trash was before, and then how did you work through it?
Yes, insecurities, I guess. Having the potential to build the most beautiful kitchen, not like putting yourself out there in the market to be able to sell that kitchen because you don't believe you can pull it out. So you kind of like, you're happy with a little tiny low-end bathroom. Mm. Nothing wrong with it. No. Still only one way to build it, right? The only way to build is build right, regardless of the size of the bathroom. But my insecurities didn't allow me to open up to ideal clients.
Yeah, so you were hanging out in your comfort zone for a while. You know, didn't really want to push the envelope with project sizes and asking for more money and things like that. So tell me about the first time you took the step though. Like what was that? What project was that? What was that like where you finally said, all right, screw this. I'm going to step my game up. How did that go?
I think I was scaling too, not knowingly, but one thing got me to another one and just making sure that I was doing the best job I can do. It took me to the next guy. And then after that, I think he was in the middle of a project in some of his other houses with a designer. And this designer wanted to take me to another job. And I was like, well, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I went for it and then priced it all. I didn't even know how to price anything out. It was like in a piece of paper and then a whole bunch of notes and then trying to see what is what. And then that's how I came up with my first estimate. And from that project with her, it took me to another project, which was a whole home renovation. And in the middle of that, it was another house that was renovated. It was really poorly renovated. And she heard about us through this other client. And then next thing you know, I'm doing two big projects at the same time. The scary part of the whole thing is the scaling deal. when you have two guys or one guy and yourself, and you figure like, well, now I have to get somebody to do accountings for me, and I'm a bookkeeper, and I need somebody in marketing, and I'm gonna need more employees, and I do my projection for the next year, and I see for these projections to be able to make what I want to make, I'm gonna have to increase the amount of people that I get, so I have to increase the sales, so I have to put more money on it. And then you're still not doing all these jobs, but you have all these expenses, right? So it's a scary thing to do.
So how'd you deal with that, man? We hear that a lot. You know, guys are like, should I get the work? Should I hire first? I'm curious how you did it. Because I remember when I hired, my first employee wasn't that bad because it was kind of on a part-time thing. My uncle lent me a guy. It was my cousin who was great. Then he ended up full-time. And then I'd borrow a couple guys from my uncle on and off because he was also a painting contractor. But then there came a point where at one point, you know, we were really needed to step on the gas and hire. And I remember the pressure I felt when I made that commitment. Then you feel that pressure to just keep everyone working every day, right? You know, you made them a promise. When we hire somebody, at least as an employee, right? We're making them a promise that this is a place where you can build your life and your family.
From that point on, it's no way back because you have all of these responsibilities. Now it's not just you. Now you have these people, they actually have families and they all depend on you. So if you say you want to sell, now you need to sell. So now it's like, well, and I think that's where I am now. Now I have the responsibility. Now I need, it's no way back. It's no, I have to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go back to scaling. So what advice do you give somebody who thinks it's time? What do you want to have in place before you pour gas on the business and grow it more, right?
You have to be conscious about your time and how do you spend it, and then market yourself. Do marketing is the key. Just marketing and then learn how to sell and sell. If you sell, you can scale because you can breed. And then if you have the money, you can find the people that you need. So
yeah,
people come around, I guess.
Fighters, many of the coaching clients that I've helped over the years were in serious trouble because of friendly fire. They tried to grow too big, too fast, and caused themselves a bunch of pain. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck, even though your employees think you're getting rich. Maybe you're struggling with burnout from living in a constant state of chaos in your business. Maybe your kids haven't seen you in days. Maybe you feel trapped by the business that was supposed to be your ticket to freedom. Wherever you're at, listen, it's time to call a timeout and get your foundation in order. In fact, not even if you're struggling, even if you're winning right now, but you know there's another level of winning that you want to take your business to, it's time to call a timeout right now and get your foundation in order. And that's what our Battleground program is designed to do. It's everything you need to grow your business, sales, marketing, leadership, numbers, you name it, it is there. I want to invite you to go check it out, our kick-ass group coaching program, Battleground, at thecontractorfight.com/battleground and join an incredible community of other men and women who are kicking some serious tail in their business. thecontractorfight.com/battleground.
What's your marketing plan look like? I'm just curious.
We're redoing the website to begin with. We kind of already learned how to create traffic to the website. But I think our website was not doing what it's supposed to do. It was just doing nothing. It was just like a business card that you give somebody. Now we're transferring this website into a sell tool where when people call me, I can tell them, just go to the website. You will get all the information you need there. And let's set up a phone consultation. Basically, that's what I tell when people call. Like, just go to the website. I want you to fill it up the form that I have on the website. So when we talk, it's more like a project review instead of just a phone call. And I can, once I got that form and I get that to that phone consultation, I can spend the time knowing the person and hearing about their needs instead of trying to make numbers and figure out what they want and making notes and whatnot. I feel like if I go to the website first and they send me all the information, a couple of pictures, then my mind is free to give it to them 100% instead of trying to like capture all the information that I receive in a paper to come up with numbers. So yes, that's kind of where we are. And as far as like leads goes, to send them to the website, then we already know that we need to be active on social media. And then that's it. Just be part of the community.
So what was your sales process like before? Because I know you're pre-qualifying people now and you're running them through your process. But before you had this process that's kicking ass for you now, what were you doing and what was the typical?
It was basically no process. Like every time went down differently and more likely was like, I'll be right over there.
Yeah, I'm on my way. Yeah.
I'm on my way. That's right. I'm on my way. And then I will spend hours and hours and hours estimating and then visiting people for no reason. Hardly sold anything that way.
You hardly sold anything that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
It was just not the right fit. Like it was not connection. It was not human connection between the customer and myself. I would show up and then I would brag about how beautiful it was going to be instead of listening and then like common sense.
You sound like me. back early on. So there was was one of the first estimates I had ever gone on as a painting contractor. And, I thought it was all about, of course, quality work is important. I mean, everybody listening to this, you know, you got to do great work. So let's just put that aside for a minute, but that's what I thought the only thing that mattered was that I just thought it was like, you know, let's wow them with how great of work we could do. And I remember standing there. This lady wanted her house painted. I said, what don't you like about it? She's like, you know, I just don't like the color and this and that. And I said, okay, long story short, I'm trying to show off and tell her how smart I am and what great work we do. And I said, for instance, you know, we were talking about how I'm like, we do high quality work and blah, 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 you know, this and that, only the best and whatever. And I said, for instance, whoever painted this wall had no pride in their work because there were like little roller fuzzies in it and like, you know, debris. And it was, you know what I'm saying? Like a couple hairs on it stuck on the wall.
Lines, I know too.
Yeah, you know. And I go, so whoever painted this wall absolutely has no pride in what they're doing. She goes, I painted that wall. So needless to say, I did not get that job.
Way to go, huh?
But yeah, you know, we spend so much time telling people how amazing we are. What was one of the lowest times you ever had in business?
Actually, it happened not that long ago, where one of our plumbers forgot to weld section of a copper pipe. And then we on the 8th floor of an apartment building. So when the water was supposed to be turned on, he didn't wait. He called me several times and then, for some reason, the engineer of the building was dealing with trying to get inside of the mechanical room that was right behind the dentist retail store down the first floor. He couldn't get back because the dentist have a patient out. So he told me over the phone that he needed to wait like another half an hour or so. So I relayed that to the plumber, and the plumber decided to like take off. Like the engineer told the plumber that he will handle it, and then next thing you know, it's just water running down the building, like 4 or 5 units wet, and then
that was
tough. So I showed up right away, and then the first thing I did was went through every single apartment and introduced myself, and then apologized, and then offered my services to whatever they might need. Trying to be nice with my plumber was like, you know what, we figured it out. Let's get it fixed, and then we figure out money later. If you want to call your insurance, call your insurance. Whatever it is, we will just deal with it. I ended up fixing everything, and then that kind of like took all my money from all the projects. Like the money was gone, and now how am I going to pull this out? Right. So
how long ago was that?
Money stuff though. That was last year. That was on March, June last year. Yeah. Okay. I'm still suffering from that.
Yeah, I bet that was a kick. So
Yeah, well, that was tough.
So how'd you stay positive through all that? Because I know a lot of guys end up going in the tank, right? Mentally, and I'm not saying you didn't from time to time. I think we all do. But I'm just curious, like, what was it that was you were able to rally every day?
I think having a clear vision of what I wanted to do and how that I want to impact my community and the people around me. It's a no-thinker right there. I just have to battle through. There's no. I got no doubts that I will succeed. Thanks to you. A lot of that is thanks to you. I you guide me in the right direction. You pull something on me that I didn't know I have. Well, I might be sure I have it, but it was not coming out.
Well, that's the power of a community too, right? Like just hanging around the right people that are working on themselves and leaning on each other. Because I mean, pretty much any situation a contractor has, anything they're going through, you line up another 5 contractors, chances are 3 or 4 of them have gone through the same thing or are going through it. So it's, you know, that's why I'm always big in the community. So
I got the pleasure to, when I went to Denver for the summit, and then I was amazed of how well you target your market, because I couldn't get an all-night conversation with any of the 300-plus guys that went there. I definitely feel like it was a very united family. You could talk about anything to them, and they will like perfectly and automatically understand where you come from.
Yeah, I love the fact that, and I've heard this from so many people, but I'll brag on it myself because I saw it. I was just super fired up that a lot of industry events, guys are showing up, beating their chests and bragging about how great they are and this and that. And this was a very different event. Like there were really no egos in the room. you know, people were open, their guard was down. It was, and right. I know I put the event on. Okay. I get that. So I'm totally like, it's probably not fair for me to say it, but I'm like, it was the best event I've ever been to because of the vulnerability is all I'm saying.
I don't know if you noticed how quiet people, like, I never see like people just concentrate for so long. It was all day, not stop. And people will not, like, if somebody was on the stage, people will not talk. I remember myself like I needed to go pee, but I will refuse to get up because I didn't want to miss a second. It was so intense. And then I didn't want to disturb anybody because everybody was like, honestly, like 100% on the stage the whole time. That was amazing to me too.
Our sound guys, the company we used, and our event planner, they've been in the game for 20, 25 years doing big, huge events and a lot of big name people and things like that. And they both told me that they couldn't believe how, like, normally in an event or a meeting or something like that, there's quarter to a third of the room, you know, will leave the room during a talk. And they're like, damn near every single talk for 3 days, every seat was filled, nobody moved. So it was kind of, and I didn't know any different. I was like, okay, but that was cool. You mentioned your community twice. You said, I want to, you know, show up in my community a certain way. What does that look like to you? Like, what's some of your vision for your community? I don't want to miss this because it sounds like you're in this for bigger reasons.
I'm happy to give my community whatever I can and whatever they need me to give, but I don't even know what that is. So as it is right now, if I'm going to take my kid to soccer, then I try to open up to people there, like all my friends. So just the simple thing to listen to people is very, very powerful. And I try to be more active if I don't know, God forbid, if people are going to get together and go clean the creek, I'm up for it. Let's do it. And I even try to talk my people into it. So whatever it is that is happening out there, just being there and be there, right? If I go there, then I need to be there. And I need to, like, it's not going to be just my body picking up some trash in the creek. I'm going to be talking with people and interacting with people and listening to people. And who knows? I don't know what it is that I can give my community. It's a person. Yeah. But just putting yourself out there. Be active.
Well, I think you're giving it to them now. You're leading by example. And what you're doing, and the reason I brought this up is this is building your brand. Like, you're becoming known. You and your people are becoming known as people who give a crap about the community. A lot of people, like, want to keep... I know a lot of guys that don't want to work in the community that they or live in the community that they work in and things like that. And I'm like, you know, I want to live in those places. I want to show the world that our company, the existence of our company, is a benefit to this place. We spend our money here. We employ people here. We support causes that we care about through donations or our time or money. There's so much power being involved in your community, which is why I brought it up with you. So
Absolutely. And then, and I didn't even mention the company because I think you have to put yourself out there as a person first and find need. And then, now the need of new construction here is huge though. We're right next to DC, and then we got houses that are built in 1960s, 1970s. They don't have Cat 5, right? They don't have, right? They need to be upgraded. They got old bathrooms, old tile. Some of them have a lot of problems with windows and then air penetrations. And then, so these days we have the technology to improve these houses. We just don't have the manpower, I think, to do it all in once.
So,
anything, I will tell you contractors, like, wake up, like, see all the work that we got out here. Decent companies and people that are legit and then wanting to do things right. So, opportunity.
It's crazy. It's crazy how much opportunity there is out there, man. There's like never a shortage of this stuff. So what could you share with people listening about what happens behind the scenes in one of the contractor fight programs that they might not know or expect?
The main thing that happened to me behind the scene, and I think is the most influencing, and this is the part that influenced me the most, is my friends that I got from the fight, people that are on the same page that I am. I got my buddy that I, Kevin, I hope you don't mind mentioning his name, but I talk with him on a daily basis. We talk 3-4 times a day. I know he's not here listening to this because he wasn't an appointment at 2 o'clock. I'm sure he's going to call right after that.
That's awesome, man. That's if I ask 100 people in the fight, 96 of them are going to say it's the relationships, it's the people, it's the friendships that usually is unexpected, actually. You know, like you join something, you're a part of it because you want to grow your business, you want to make more money, and this, and then you learn how to do that, but then you end up, the added bonus is the relationships that you build, you know. And I mean, I remember being in my first coaching program 20 years ago or whatever it was, where I was just a member in this coaching group, and I still have great relationships from 20 years ago that I met in there. And, you know, we've helped each other grow our businesses through the years, and it's good stuff. So
I imagine you're still like friends with them.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like we still touch base a couple times, you know, a couple times a month or maybe more, depending on the relationship. But, you know, and I keep saying to people, like, when you're running a business, you're not doing it in a vacuum, or you're not on an island by yourself. You know what I mean? Like you cannot do this without people and relationships, and obviously your employees and your customers and your vendors and stuff, but like your community and this and that, like you're in this together. And what I love about you, you have this great spirit about you where you're like, I can tell that when you're building relationships in the community, you're cleaning up a creek or whatever. And you just said it a minute ago, you're like, I don't talk about the business a whole lot because I think they got to get to know me as a person. I think that's a huge strength. Like that's an absolute strength for you to have, because people buy from people, not from businesses.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And I will not want to work with somebody that I don't have a connection with. Like it will be the worst. I will put my people through a lot of pain if I do that. If I sell a project that I shouldn't sell because we don't have that human connection, he's going to explain me that he want a different color in the middle of the process? How is that conversation going to go down? Right. Yeah. So.
Right. So let me ask you this. Before we get out of here, we got a couple minutes left. What's something that we should have talked about, or I should have asked you that we didn't? What comes to mind? You get the stage right now. You get the stage. Contractors literally all around the world are going to hear your voice. And what do you want to tell them, or what should we have talked about?
I don't know, Tom. I think the information that you need in order to run a company is huge, though. There's so many different topics that we can choose, pick, and then talk about them. I think the main thing is focus on you and then your trash head, and then live in the moment. Be here. If you're going to be here, be there right now. You have to be there 100%. Give your 100%. Answer the phone. I like that. Always answer the phone, right?
Yeah.
So I think we right on topic. It's so much we can talk about, but it comes down to the human part of the whole thing. I think that's what matters.
Yeah. Well, dude, I love that you said that, because it was all about getting oxygen, right? Taking care of you. Like we could talk math and marketing and pricing and all sales, word tracks and all that other, but none of that stuff matters unless you're working on you. That's my biggest takeaway from your answer, was like, man, you got to take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, and develop yourself and your head trash. And when you do that, I think the rest of it's easy.
Right on.
There's still struggles, obviously, you know, you have water leak down, you know, 4 units or whatever, but that shit's always going to be there though. That's the point. Like there's always going to be adversity. So you will only grow your business to be as strong as you are as an individual. That's my personal opinion, because if I don't grow strong, I'm not going to call my team higher. Right. And then they're not going to be as strong as they could be. And then we're just going to be at a plateau.
You have to
forever
put yourself out there, right? You have to put yourself out there. Yeah. Just forget about the fears that you have, and then just market yourself and put yourself out there. I think a lot of good comes after that.
Love it, man. Well, dude, before we get out of here, if somebody's in your area, DC area out that way, what town are you in again specifically?
I'm in North Arlington. In North Virginia area, Arlington, Alexandria.
Okay.
On like cover.
Gotcha. How does somebody find you?
Just go to my website, contigogrouponline.com.
ContigoGroupOnline.com. We'll put a link in the show notes to this so people can check it out. If you want to go work for Mauricio, or you want to partner with him on a project or something like that, it'd be a great person to do that with.
Absolutely. I actually want to correct that. It's ContigoGRP.online.
GRP.online. GRP. All right, cool. We'll put that in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, you could just click the button and go right there, check out what he's got going on. Well, dude, I appreciate you carving out some time to have a conversation today. Super appreciate you. There's always one little nugget that helps somebody somewhere in the world every time we do this. So I want to thank you for helping whoever you've helped today. You helped me, man. You're like a breath of fresh air, man. You got a great spirit about you, great energy. You know, you're just a genuine dude, and I can see why your business is kicking ass and growing, man. Super proud of you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. And thank you for having me here. So humbling. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody. Appreciate you. Hey, check out Mauricio's profile in the show notes or his website, what he's got going on there. And share this with another contractor. Give us a review wherever you're listening to it. And with that, Travis bringing the guitars. We'll see you guys next time.